Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 2nd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, the U.S. Secretary of Ag says extending the 2002 Farm Bill is a bad idea. The U.S. Energy Secretary says not to expect fuel prices to drop anytime soon, I think a couple of years. And the administrator of the FAS, the Foreign Ag Service, says Congress needs to pass legislation that would give the green light to modernize the lock and dam systems on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear from the state statisticians about planting progress in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Yesterday's report showed 52% of the nation's corn crop is now in the ground and that 10% of the soybeans have been sown. Just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. In the May wheat, futures finished at 355 and a quarter, up 2 cents. July futures a penny and a half higher at 366 and a half from the soft red winter wheat. In Chicago, Kansas City wheat settled at $4.38 and a half cents for the May. They were up 3 and a half the day. Corn pit now in Chicago, 233 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. July futures at 243 and a half, off 4 and a half, and September's at 254 and a quarter, were off 4 and a half cents. December futures down 4 and a half as well, $2.67, the final price today there. Soy complex now, May soybeans, 590 and a half, down 2 3/4. July futures at 603, off 3 3/4, and the August beans at 607 and 3/4, were off 4 and a half cents. New crop November beans at $6.22 and a half, were off 3 and a half. May bean meal, 176.20, down 190. May bean oil at 25.32, that was off 15 for the day. And the feeder cattle finished at 102.15 for the May contract, and they were off 2 and a half cents for the afternoon. May lean hogs at $67.22 and a half cents, were down a dollar even. From the outside markets, crude oil at $74.70 a barrel, up a dollar at this hour. The CRB index at 357.1, up 1.8, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,405. That's up almost 63 at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
I see by the numbers from the crop progress reports yesterday that Illinois farmers are moving a little more quickly than the farmers to the east of them. Illinois corn farmers have 72% in the ground, Indiana at 33%, and the Ohio farmers at 43% planted for the corn this week. Illinois farmers with what? In the beans, 5%, Indiana 5% as well. Ohio, which is the number 5 state for production of beans, at 17% planted on the beans. So that's the numbers as they sort of came out yesterday afternoon. What kind of reaction did we have this morning and throughout the day as the day trade ensued in Chicago?
Well, of course, we were looking for 50-55% done. A lot of people, of course, if you lived in my area, wouldn't think they'd be that high because we've had more rain, and that's why Indiana's behind, because we haven't been out in the mud playing as much. We've had, you know, more subsoil moisture and more rain to boot, so we're sort of held back on getting some of our planting done, Todd. But basically, as a whole, they looked at those numbers and saw that things are moving along quite nicely so far, and maybe part of the weather scare or thinking that we might not get the crop seeded early enough to have good yields sort of went out the window with that. But, you know, we're still going to be in a little bit of a problem on Our area this way, just respect, it's still wet. We got some other showers forecast for later in the week. And if the forecasts hold true, we're going to probably be next week before we get a lot of planting done in our area.
What were farmers thinking the last couple of days in terms of the little upspike we had in the marketplace? Did they take advantage? Were they calling you and asking about marketing any of the crop?
No, Todd. Everybody just really thinks prices should go up out in the country, and then the rest of us are sitting here in shock and amazement wondering why beans are going up, because there is no fundamental reason other than fund short covering, and we all sort of get tired of hearing that excuse when we don't know anything else, so I'm hesitant to use that one. Of course, the outside markets have been very inspirational in fueling the funds, these index funds buying a lot of things indifferently, and I think they don't think that the corn can go and just leave the beans sitting there all by themselves. We tend to wonder, we keep hearing biodiesel with the reflection to soy oil, but don't think we have the facilities to use enough of that soon enough to really make that a real reality here in the near future.
And it looks like on the outside markets, crude oil up at $74.70 on its way back up. Contract high there at $75.35, so not too terribly far away from the contract high.
Oh, it's too terribly close, Todd. That's the problem. These this energy and the excitement in the energy market and the saber-rattling that seems to be going on around Iran is just, it's just been terribly, terribly hard on the energy market and for all the Americans at the pump. And, of course, especially to farmers this time of year, so they're going out and filling those, you know, all their large equipment. It's a lot of dollars going in that fuel tank.
A lot of dollars, and as we'll hear a little bit later in the news segment, apparently USDA and the Department of Energy think that it's going to stay that way at least for a couple of years.
As one of my customers put it today, it took us a while to get here, and it's going to take us a while to get out of here and find some alternatives, what's going on, you know, and what we can do to really change this and maybe change the idea of being quite as reliant on foreign oil. But I wish I had the answer. I could be elected president soon. It is primary day here in Indiana, and after the show here, well, I'm going to go up and vote and try to get the right guy in office that can maybe make those decisions.
That's a good thing to do. Always make sure you go and vote. If you don't vote, go get yourself signed up so that you can vote at some point, because it makes a difference, and I would argue with anybody that tells me that it doesn't. All right, so tell me about this marketplace with the last couple of minutes here. Is there anything that farmers really need to be watching, be aware of, be thinking about in terms of pulling the trigger, or do they just need to be worried about getting the crop in the ground at the moment?
I think the crop in the ground at the moment, really, Todd, now you're going to have some people tell you close below 67 D's opens things up a little bit to the downside. But with the attitude that's out there as of right now, I'm going to be more of a buyer of dips than a seller of breaking trend lines for right here. So that's what we'd say about that one.
Anything else to add for the day on the Mercantile Exchange?
On the Mercantile Exchange, well, we saw some pressure over there again. The hog stayed down. The cattle bounced back a little bit. So we do seem to be bouncing off and looking a little stronger in cattle than the hogs.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Mike Sola forecast for the two-state region tonight. Calls for in western Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Some scattered showers will arrive there. Elsewhere, he says, partly cloudy. Lows will range this evening from 50 in northeastern Indiana to 59 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, Mike says, in western Illinois, cloudy, some occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly sunny, scattered thunderstorms developing mainly during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from 70 in northwestern Illinois to 82 in some of the central and southern locations. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. today's agricultural news, U.S. Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman met Monday with farm broadcasters attending NAFB's annual Washington Watch event, and farm broadcasters asked tough questions on sky-high energy costs. The Bush administration has been supportive of the renewable fuels industry as a long-term solution to the nation's dependence on foreign oil, and the U.S. ethanol industry is ramping up quickly. But Bodman says at this point there's just not enough U.S. ethanol production to make a serious dent in fuel prices.
This is a huge business. When you start thinking about it, 4 billion gallons, which we used of ethanol last year, that sounds like a lot. We used 140 billion gallons of motor fuels. So it's about 3% of the motor fuels was ethanol. So it's a huge, huge industry.
Bodman says ag producers will have to live with higher fuel prices for some time, and that current U.S. gas and diesel prices near $3 a gallon are an accurate reflection of market conditions, with suppliers unable to keep up with demand. Another reason cited for the current high fuel prices is the price of crude oil, which remains over $70 a barrel. Bodman says he does expect that price to fall, though not as far as many would hope.
If I were a betting man, or if I were committing capital, which is what I used to do for a living, I would be assuming that we're going to have prices that may be significantly below where they are today, but still above 40, let's say, or something like that.
Global economic growth has spurred a huge increase in fuel demand, and the energy secretary says it's going to take at least 2 years for supply to catch up. Bodman says that means $2 and $3 fuel prices aren't going away anytime soon. Bodman and other energy officials say it's not the supply of crude oil, but the ability to refine and deliver it to the market that's leading to the inflated gas and diesel fuel prices. Well, U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns says extending the 2002 Farm Bill, as some have suggested, would simply make the job of U.S. trade negotiators that much more difficult at the WTO. And the secretary believes extending the 2002 Farm Bill would simply ignore the majority of U.S. ag producers who currently get no direct support from current farm programs.
I just personally believe that if we say to them, well, thanks for showing up at the forums, thanks for attending the field hearings that the House is having, but by the way, we'll be just doing more of the same. And you won't be a part of the next farm bill in any meaningful way. I think that would just be a very, very bad message to them. So to just say, let's extend it, does not sit well with me. It's not something I could support. I think it just ignores 60% of the farmers.
Johanns repeated the Bush administration's support for a new WTO deal, and he emphasized the importance of exports to U.S. agriculture. Of course, a major reason U.S. exports remain competitive in the global marketplace is the superior nature of the U.S. transportation system. But USDA chief economist Keith Collins says USDA still believes Brazil will capture a bigger share of the global growth in soybean demand over the next decade than America. Collins says a big reason why is that Brazil continues to invest heavily in its own transportation infrastructure. On that note, Foreign Ag Secretary Administrator Mike Yost says there's no good reason why the U.S. Congress has yet to move on WRDA, or the Water Resources Development Act, that would lengthen the locks on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. Yost says the U.S. needs to modernize the locks and dams. In fact, according to Yost, especially with today's fuel prices, river transportation is the most efficient available. And finally today, as officials prepare for the appearance of avian influenza in the U.S., USDA is working to educate American consumers about the disease, and they've asked farm broadcasters to help. Farm broadcasters in Washington, D.C. Monday met with a number of top USDA officials, including Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service Administrator Ron DeHaven and Undersecretary for Food Safety Richard Raymond. According to Raymond, it's important to inform Americans rather than alarming them. As Raymond notes, one bird with the highly pathogenic H5N1 virus certainly doesn't equal a pandemic. Plus, Raymond says if consumers follow the rules, there's no need for concern. He says cooking poultry to 165 degrees kills all foodborne pathogens, including avian influenza. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. Well, USDA's latest crop progress report shows corn planting has progressed rapidly. 52% of the crop is now in the ground. That's ahead of last year and the five-year average. 72% of the corn crop in Illinois has been sown. Iowa stands at 68%. Around the nation, 13% of the crop is up and out of the ground. That number is ahead of last year and the five-year average, too. 10% of the soybeans have been planted around the nation. Last year, 8% were in the ground at this same time, and the rolling five-year average is 7%. Mississippi leads the soybean race by a large margin at 87% complete. Usually, they've about 60% done at this time. That jump in planting progress down south might be important later in the season if it were to help soybean rust become established. 39% of the winter wheat crop has headed, and most states around the nation, including those east of the Mississippi River, are maturing ahead of schedule. Out west, that's not a good thing, just further proof of how much damage has been done by the dry conditions. 37% of the Kansas wheat crop is said to be in poor to very poor categories. That's an increase from about 30% last week, and apparently you can write off about 70% of the crop in Texas and Oklahoma. Now, here, with a more detailed look at what's been happening in the Midwest, are statisticians from the state offices in Indiana, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Illinois.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on the weather and crop report for the week ending April 30th. Planting conditions were almost ideal, which allowed for farmers to make up lost time in regards to planting their crop, especially corn. Average temperatures were slightly below normal, but the much-needed rains across most of the state have established near-ideal seedbed conditions. Average statewide topsoil moisture showed improvement again last week and was rated as 3% very short, 14% short, 68% adequate, and 15% surplus. Taking a look at the progress numbers for last week, corn planting advanced by an amazing 39 percentage points to 72% complete. This trails last year's record pace by only 7 percentage points and is now well ahead of the five-year average of 59%. To put the 39 percentage points in perspective, that equates to 4.4 million acres planted statewide in just 1 week. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn planting was the Western District at 94%. 23% of the corn has emerged, and that compares to 28% last year and 20% normally. Serious soybean planting is still about a week away, but we did see a few fields planted as progress advanced to 5% complete, the same as last year and the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop continued to mature with 29% of the crop headed, well in advance of last year's 5% and the 7% for the five-year average. Condition of the crop improved from last week and was rated as 2% poor, 17% fair, 62% good, and 19% excellent. Abundant topsoil moisture supplies continued to promote growth of the alfalfa, red clover, and pasture crops and were all rated in mostly good condition. The first cutting of alfalfa is underway at 5% complete, ahead of last year and the five-year average. To round out the week, farmers were also busy planting vegetables, spraying chemicals, and tending livestock. This has been Brad Schwab reporting for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office.
This is Steve Wilson of the National Agricultural Statistics Service's Indiana Field Office with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 30th. Corn planting was in full swing in many central and northern areas of Indiana last week. Field conditions were near ideal before weekend rain showers halted operations. South central and southeastern portions of the state have been too wet to make much progress with field work. Corn planting is 2 days behind average and 7 days behind last year's near record pace. There were slightly more than four full days suitable for field work last week. 33% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, compared to 49% last year and 40% for the five-year average. By area, 43% of the corn acreage has been planted in the north, 25% in the central region, and 30% in the south. 5% of the corn acreage has emerged, compared with 8% last year and 8% for the five-year average. 5% of the soybean acreage is planted, compared to 10% last year and 11% for the five-year average. 76% of the winter wheat acreage is jointed, compared to the 78% last year and 80% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 80% good to excellent, compared to 72% last year at this same time. Major activities during the week included soil preparation, applying fertilizer, hauling grain to market, hauling and applying manure, and taking care of livestock. Pasture condition is rated 79% good to excellent, and livestock are mostly in good condition. This is Steve Wilson with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather summary for the week ending April 30th, 2006. Rainfall across the eastern third of the state halted planting activities over the weekend, while the western half of Nebraska, especially the southwest, remained mostly dry. Rainfall in the three eastern agricultural reporting districts were above normal for the month of April, recording between 132 and 140% of normal. The North Central Agricultural District, or the Sand Hills, is at 165% of normal for the month of April. The remaining districts are all well below normal. The Southwest District came in at 38% of normal. Northwest, or the Panhandle District, was at 59% of normal, with the Central District at 80% of normal, South Central at 59% of normal. Corn plantings made noticeable progress and rose to 39% complete. This is ahead of last year's 30% and the five-year average of 32%. Wheat conditions declined slightly last week and were rated 50% good or excellent. Alfalfa conditions improved last week and were rated 77% good or excellent. Oat plantings increased to 96%, while 64% had emerged. Sugar beet plantings jumped considerably due to the dry weather in the west and was at 86% complete, ahead of last year at 55% and average at 68%. Pasture and range conditions rated 66% good or excellent, ahead of last year's conditions. Spring calving was 95% complete, the same as year-ago levels. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending April 30th, 2006. Producers worked feverishly preparing ground and planting before the weekend's rains fell. Corn, green pea, and oat plantings advanced rapidly, while soybeans, dry beans, and canola plantings were just getting underway. Rains were recorded across most of the state, with some areas receiving 2 to 3 inches of precipitation. The average temperature for the week was 49.8 degrees, 1.1 degree above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, April 28th, were rated 2% very short, 10% short, 75% adequate, and 13% surplus. Corn planted was 48% complete, jumping 36 percentage points from last week and 13 points ahead of the five-year average. Green peas at 46% planted advanced 27 percentage points from last week's 19%. An estimated 44% of the spring wheat acreage was planted, compared to 40% a year ago and 35% for the average. Oats planted were 72% complete, compared with 51% for a year ago and 48% for the average. Barley was 46% complete, compared to 31% last year and 72% for the five-year average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending April 30th, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on AM 580. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois lawmakers are getting their first look today at the budget agreement negotiated by Governor Rob Blagojevich and Democratic legislative leaders. Education spending would increase about $415 million, $45 million of that would go toward preschool. The budget agreement has money for about 250 additional prison guards and more aid for families paying for college. Legislative leaders hope to vote on the budget within the next day or two. There are few contested races in today's Indiana primary, so turnout is expected to be light. One notable challenge is against longtime Republican Senate leader Robert Garten of Columbus. Accountant Greg Walker is trying to unseat Garten, who's led the Indiana Senate for a record 26 years. Indiana's new voter ID law created difficulties for Congressman Julia Carson, who had trouble casting her primary ballot this morning. Her congressional ID doesn't have an expiration date as required by the new law. Poll workers eventually let her vote. Two local service agencies in Champaign-Urbana plan major moves in the next few months. The Salvation Army plans to move its thrift store and men's shelter out of downtown Champaign this summer and into an empty furniture store near Marketplace Mall. Habitat for Humanity will move its offices and Homeworks retail store into the old Salvation Army location on University Avenue. Habitat is launching a $350,000 fund drive to make the move. Local health officials say the mumps outbreak in Illinois is slowly affecting Champaign-Urbana and Champaign County. A total of 6 cases of mumps have been reported so far in the county this year, 4 confirmed cases and 2 probable cases. As of last Friday, a total of 193 mumps cases have been reported in Illinois. Shares in Decatur-based Archer Daniels Midland are up more than 9% on the New York Stock Exchange this afternoon on news that the company reported a 29% increase in third-quarter earnings. An increase in demand for oil seeds and higher selling prices for corn byproducts such as ethanol fueled the increase. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It's kind of a beautiful day here in Champaign County, Illinois, but rain, I take it, is on the way again for parts of the Midwest?
Yeah, the next system to come on through over the next 24 hours isn't quite as large as the system that came in over the weekend. It's actually sort of coming through in pieces, but it will trigger scattered shower and thunderstorm activity over many areas. And the trend is certainly looking cooler, and the trend is looking like more moisture is going to be coming into the Midwest and Corn Belt areas as we head into the next 7 to 10 days. In fact, it looks like the first 2 weeks of May will be a pretty active weather pattern. And on the whole scheme of things, when you look at everything, temperatures probably averaging below normal along and east of the Mississippi River here over the next week or two.
How far below normal?
Well, probably in the neighborhood of about 5 to 10 degrees. Once you add that average with high and low together, it does look like nothing extremely colder than normal. But with the good chances of moisture and all the cloud cover associated with it and several systems lined up to come our way, there won't be any periods of weather over the next week or two that'll be too warm, at least for too long.
If you could concentrate on the eastern part, far eastern parts of Illinois and then Indiana for me, where they are lagging behind in their planting season for the corn crop, tell me what kind of conditions they'll be working under over the next week and a half.
They will have a tough time. There will be enough coming on through to keep things cool and wet that it's going to be slow going. The way the weather pattern seems to evolve, at least what we see May doing, is that the first full 2 weeks of this month, maybe all the way up to the 18th or 19th, is going to be an active, cooler, and wetter than normal pattern for most of the area. So those folks are going to have a slow go at it.
And then turn your attention to other global areas around the nation where they have growing season in swing. Start with China for me.
Okay, well, the China area looking like a pretty decent weather pattern over there. The precipitation has been decent, and they're expecting more. If we were to take a look at the long-range trend over the next couple of weeks, very typical May weather over there. Temperatures may be lagging a little below normal in the northern and western areas.
We know the wheat crop out west in this nation stinks. How about if you check into well, it does. what if you check in on those growing regions in the former Soviet states for me, please?
Okay, well, those areas, there are some locations that need a little bit of precipitation, but their weather pattern this spring has been certainly more moist than what we've had here in the U.S. So it's not looking all that bad and looking a little bit better. I do have a little bit of good news for the wheat areas of the U.S. There will be some precipitation over the next week or two, but it's not going to be probably enough to be a big help, but a little help.
On that note, the Kansas crop would be the place where things could be helped out. I think only 30% of that crop was in very poor condition, or 37%.
Yeah, and actually, that the Kansas area, especially some of those key areas of southwest Kansas, have a fighting chance of maybe better than inch amounts of rainfall starting late tomorrow and lasting on into Friday. So there could be some help there for Kansas. Other areas, though, it's going to be slim pickings.
Don, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons. Be sure to tune in at 8:49 for our first in-depth look tomorrow morning at the day's marketplace. And remember, you can always listen to the futures analysis, the weather reports, cash grain reports, everything else that happens in the ag world right here on WILL on our worldwide website at WILLAG.org. That's O-R-G. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.